From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. The last time we saw my guest, Tim Story, he was introduced us to Galactus and the Silver Surfer for Fantastic Four. He's been busy in those years ever since and doing the thing I think that he does as well as anybody, which is to take bigger-than-life personalities and put them in a room together and see what happens when there's friction from that. And we can see that really applies in the best ways to Think Like a Man, the ride-along films, and his newest movie as director, Shaft. Yeah. First of all, Tim, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
But that is what you do. I even go back to that idea of, going back to One of Us Tripped, the idea of there being one person who's bigger than everybody else
and
how everybody else responds to that. That's really a lot of what you do as a storyteller, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I love relationships. I think ultimately when we make films, especially the kind of films that I like to make, what happens in them, we probably seen a car chase before. We probably seen a... Probably seen this before. There's so much, and unless you're doing it on Avengers level, there's not much we haven't seen. So what I kind of base my filmmaking existence in is relationships, and that's what makes it different. That once you put Sam Jackson in a car chase, it's different than anything. And if you lean on the personalities, you lean on the relationships, and you can call back to relationships that you might have set up earlier in the film. That's when I think the fun comes, and that's when I think it becomes something special.
It's interesting, but the relationships you're absolutely right about, but also that thing that there's one person who's a bigger personality than anybody else, and the collateral damage that person causes.
It's the bull in a china store, and that's what was great about this film. Sam was the bull, and what's great is when everybody has to react to that, that's when the fun happens, because as long as you have enough conflict— and people aren't afraid to be who they are in the presence of the other characters. That's where tension happens, and that's where anybody that has a family at Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's when the fun happens, is when everybody's who they are.
Even the movies of yours that aren't strictly speaking about families are about family one way or another. That almost that kind of that weird, awful Thanksgiving dinner with a drunk uncle who, please just don't talk. At some point, there's that guy. And be it Cube or be it Kevin Hart in any of the films, or even like Regina Hall has been that character for you. That person who is unedited in everything that they say is somebody you like to have around, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Cedric in Barbershop.
Absolutely.
It's like when you have that person that's unedited and there's somebody that has to try to corral it, there's somebody that kind of enjoys it, there's somebody that is afraid of it, there's somebody that tries to stop it, that's where the fun happens. And it was kind of the same way in this film with Sam, to put everybody around him and say deal with it is when you have a lot of humor, and that's what I kind of thrive on.
It's funny too, because there's, first of all, for those who are fans of the original score, there's like a little nod to No Name Bar in this, and a few other songs from the Isaac Hayes.
I love that you caught all that.
Why? How can I not? It's all there for you to see. But it's also too about you bringing the energy of modern day New York to it.
Yeah.
And I want you to talk about that a little bit too, because I've noticed in the last few movies, maybe like you're Atlanta or Miami, wherever there is, you try to make the energy of the city part of what's going on. And there's a visual type, but there's also an energy. The New York energy is different from the energy of the South. I want you to talk about how these locales influence the way you make the movies.
Well, I'm always looking for character. I'm always looking for ways that, how do I tell this story and make you, A, believe it, make it accessible to you. And when I say accessible, not that you know it, but just that you feel it. And that's what it was with this one. One of the things that's great about Shaft is that he comes with New York. That character comes with New York. And you have to stop for a second and go, okay, where specifically in New York? Harlem. And Harlem, Harlem has gone through and continues to go through it, like many cities, in this gentrification kind of thing that's going on. So then you ask yourself, okay, well, there's got to still be old Harlem, but there's new Harlem. And how does a character like Sam or Shaft work inside of those? Does he like green drinks? Does he, we had a line that I don't even think made it to the cut of the movie where Sam continuously gets a green drink. And he might have said that, where you kind of go, hey, if he wanted one at some point, you figure he got himself a green drink and it was pretty good. And he found out that maybe it's healthy. And so I just try to look at the city and say, what can I pull from it? What can I you know, what shouldn't change, you know, and then what new part of it do I need to kind of build upon? And so I think any cities, like with Ride Along, being in Atlanta in the first one, you know, we thought about exactly how do police deal with this and what are the kind of things that they deal with on a regular, which is different from, say, L.A. Even in Miami, it was important to have that, you know, just the flavor of it, the music, the, you know, I made it a point to, not that I needed to give them much help, but we made it a point to sweat all the time just because in Miami, it's hot. And so, but we were shooting in the summer, so it was already hot. So, you know, I didn't have any water bottles. We actually had to have towels to wipe it off. But I thought that that's great. Let a shirt stick to the back. Let it be what it is. And that's when I think people start to feel where you are. It's like sometimes I like to say, I'm trying to get people to smell the movie, you know. And if you're successful, people do.
We're talking to our old friend Tim Story about his new Shaft. It's the treatment. But also one of the things, as we're talking about these personalities, is there's always one guy who's kind of stuck, and I shouldn't say always, but often one person who's stuck in the past and one person who's trying to reach for the future.
Yeah.
And again, those are really interesting tensions. And I wonder, was that in the Shaft that came to you from the Kenya Barra script, or is that something you wanted to really kind of play on a little bit more? Because there is that tension, and that was in Barbershop, it's in Ride Along. When I think about the movies I really think about as being your films,
Yeah. That
ideas, one person who's stuck in the past, one person who's trying to get into the future.
Yeah. I think it's a personal thing of mine. I'm kind of stuck in between. I'm embedded in 80s comedies. You know, most of them are comedies, like, you know, Stir Crazy and you know, Beverly Hills Cop. So I'm stuck in that world, but I also know that I have to pull on every millennial phrase, every app, every, you know, social media. So I have to pull on both those, but it's kind of, I've always got my foot in both. And when I am able to make a movie that has both of those, even with Ride Along, there's still tradition. You know, there's still the tradition of what it's supposed to be like before you get married. And so I kind of just gravitate towards that. And I don't think it'll ever stop. You know, Shaft was the same way, you know, in Barbershop, you had Eddie who was in the old world where, you know, Cube is trying to go to the new world. And so even, you know, so I'm always trying to kind of let those things be up against one another because I think they create the best conversations. I think we're, you know, as me, you know, I'm not the youngest person walking around the earth, but I'm caught up in the middle of being a gentleman, of opening a door for a woman. And also hoping I don't get yelled at for somebody who says, I don't need you to open that door for me. So it's a constant conversation. And I think it's a relative conversation. I think it's an interesting one to continue to have. And I love it when my movies allow me to do it.
But I think that's so much too about, for me, especially the Southern California Black experience,
Yeah. Which
is about trying to step in because the city is constantly changing.
Constantly.
and you have to go along with that whether you want to or not. But also this idea of, you know, what it means, of a certain ideal of Black masculinity.
Yeah.
Which is always looking back.
Yeah.
Which is always saying it was always better then. And there's we can name about five movies of yours at some point, somebody says it was better then. Yeah. Or some version of that.
Yeah, it's always the music. Our music was better than the music now. And you know, that's the constant argument. And, you know, when I do find some pretty damn good music of today. So I think that's what it is. It's a constant.
But that's interesting because it's happening in Shaft. I mean, we hear the two different types of music playing off each other.
Yeah.
At one point, there's a very, I don't want to give too much away because the music really plays, the song choices play a very specific part.
Yeah.
But using music, because I know your early background is music.
Yeah, music videos and being a part of it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of shift where sampling was just sort of coming in and saying Sure. It's a different world. And so now you've gone from being, you know, the young gun to the guy who has to draw first before
Absolutely.
He gets shot.
Absolutely.
But I was also thinking, too, about the music, the way the music is mixed in the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really sort of forward.
Yeah.
Using that to really set scenes.
Yeah.
And also to sort of make fun of some of these characters. I mean, there is a kind of this kind of constant audio commentary that
Sure. The
music is bringing to the movie, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, the thing about Shaft is, especially with the original, I mean, when you think of, I'm trying to even think back. When you think of all the greatest themes in the world, I had a chance to make a movie with one of the most iconic themes of all time and soundtracks of all time. And
the first
yeah.
soundtrack to win an Oscar for
absolutely. So you go, wait a second, I've got this theme that's almost like an Indiana Jones theme. It's like Jaws. It's like any of these amazing themes. So when you hear the Shaft theme, you just kind of, you're immediately transplanted there. So the thing about Shaft, it's always been music. It's always, we just remember hearing that song at the top of it, and they let the whole thing play for, I'm trying to think, it was maybe 2.5, 3 minutes. They just let it play and let them walk in New York. So I knew that when it came to music, this was the movie to play it forward. And this was the movie to allow it to help you tell the story. There's moments, I don't know if you remember when we first go to Sam's or Shaft's office and the door opens. I won't give it away. But there's just those moments that I'm just telling you, you know, it's just fun to tell you what to think. But at the same time, it could have been playing on the stereo, which it was. So it's fun to do that with music. It's fun when music can help you tell the story because you kind of get to where you're trying to go just a little bit faster. And as long as it makes sense, as long as it's organic to what you're doing, it's always fun when you can use that to kind of put an exclamation point on what's happening.
It's interesting, though, because there's always been something comedic about the way you deal with black masculinity anyway. And Shaft is one of the earliest movies that sort of brought that into the commercial world, the idea of what is black masculinity, and plays it for a joke.
Sure.
Not as often as your film does, but those questions, is that one of the things that reasons you want to make Shaft because of what it said about black masculinity now, then versus what you're going to say about it now?
Yeah, 100%. Kenya Barris gave me a script that was just right on point in the sense that he asked, what is it to be a man today? And luckily, I have a character in here who also can tell you what it was like to be a man in the past. And that is the conversation that the script immediately gave to me, that I could, as I go through, you know, as I have a son and as I raise him, you know, there are lessons that you want him to learn. There are things that you hold dear that, hey, you should, you know, make sure you do this. Then there's other things that you have to say, you know, son, you got to be careful of what you do. And because we're in a new world, you know, and it's kind of this debate that Kenya put in the script. And I had a ball bringing it to light. And I find it important for men to just discuss it because I think we're, you know, the angle at which these conversations are coming from, they're so diverse. They're so, you know, they're just so interesting that I think it's important for us to discuss it and debate it because I don't think there's a lot of perfect answers to, you know, when you know, I remember back in the day, like, you know, a character like Shaft would order dinner for his lady when he's sitting at the table. But I'm not sure every woman wants you to, you know, order for it. So that debate, and there are some women that will tell me, no, I do want you to do it because that shows me you're a gentleman. You go, well, hold on. I didn't want to offend you by there. That debate is so interesting now because we're kind of walking this tightrope. And when I can put that in a movie about masculinity, what it means to, you know, when you do speak up, when you don't, it's just fun to have that conversation.
We're going to take a break because my guest just made me hungry. We're talking about the new Shaft with director Tim Story. It's good to have him back. It's a treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm talking to our old friend, director Tim Story, who's bringing us the new Shaft. And we were talking just before the break about these questions of masculinity and what you do here, which I just say you don't do, and which is something you tend to be very careful about in the movies, is that you're not saying that any point of view is wrong.
Mm. That is, oh my, wow. Like, 100%. I think I'm giving you, you know, as a filmmaker, I have to be subjective to a certain degree because no matter where I put the camera, that is the reference at which I want you to see what I'm doing. But I do try to have, as I did with early, my first film with Barbershop, it was important to have those conversations about, well, he thinks this way and he thinks that way. And to a certain degree, in most cases, people have points. And I think right now, and when you bring it into today, I think one of the problems we have in society is that we don't see each other's side. We don't give, you know, everybody a moment to speak and respect their point of view. And I think when it comes to my movies, I do like to give you, okay, look at it from this way, look at it from that way. I don't always want to spoon feed what I believe the answer is. And
but so much of comedy is about judgment and yeah. saying this point of view is right and these people are wrong. And so much of hip hop is especially about that, yeah. that kind of combat. Well, I'm right and you're nobody. It's not even that you're wrong. You're nobody.
Right.
So you coming up in those kinds of battles and listening to those kinds of songs in that world where there was one point of view mm-hmm. and nothing else mattered. You make movies where the characters, they all think that.
Yeah.
And the women, too. And the women tend to measure up. We really see it here with Gina Hall, who is his match.
The female chef, you know. I think, now, especially when it comes to humor, because I must admit, I am someone who loves to make you laugh if I can pull it off. I love to make people laugh, and I love to entertain you with humor. And I find that the best humor comes from those who have a point of view, and it's not easily changed. I think that's where debates happen, and that's where they happen at 10. A conversation at 4 is, you know, we're having this great conversation now. On a screen for 2 hours, it's not going to be that interesting. But if we're at each other's necks and we're holding true to what we're thinking, that's when it gets fun. That's when people, you know, I constantly think about my family Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas moments where you have all of the family there, and or even a reunion where you have all of these people together and you know the way they are. It's never going to, Uncle such and such is never going to be different than how he was last year. And you know that once Uncle gets with Dad, they're going to fight and then they're going to play basketball together. Then they're going to come back and fight again while they play, you know, spades or whatever they do. And that's what makes it fun, is these personalities don't stop.
It's a treat when we're talking to the director of Shaft, or Shaftish, if you want to call it that, Tim's story. But this is the point, because I just realized we've been talking in much bigger terms. We should have you tell the audience in sort of bare bones what they're going to see when they see Shaft, what the movie's about.
Well, first of all, we give you an action comedy. It might even be a comedy action. We do something that's really fun. We continue to make Shaft cool. But in this story, he has to deal with a son that he hasn't seen in many years.
Well, they are estranged, as he puts in the movie, it's complicated.
It's complicated. So our character, Shaft, played by Sam Jackson, finds his son back in his life, and it was somebody, you know.
His son, played by Jesse T. Usher.
Yeah, Jesse T. Usher plays his son. And Jesse T. Usher is also somewhat of a detective in his own right. He works for the FBI, and he is an analyst. And a friend of his gets killed, and he has to kind of go and find out what happened. And he's not the kind of person that knows how to deal with the streets, so he kind of gets his butt kicked. And after that, he comes to, you know, solicit the help of his dad.
A private eye who might be able to help.
Exactly.
Just might be able to help. Be one in the family. But because what you're doing here, which is not something we've seen in movies that deal with a character like Shaft, which is this is not a parody.
Yeah.
Because so often, when somebody does a movie that sort of touches on what used to be called blaxploitation, they want to make a joke out of it and make it a parody. And you basically are taking the attitudes and making them bigger than life, but you're not making fun of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's on purpose. I think this franchise, the character of Shaft, he's a serious character in the sense of how we first came on the scene with Richard Roundtree, who's also in the movie. So, and you'll love him in this movie.
Let's not give too much away.
Yep, you'll love him in this movie.
But we can say it answers a question from the Shaft of.
Yes, it does. We answer a lot of questions humorously, to say the least, too. But when it comes to the character of Shaft, I did know that I was dealing with an iconic, you know, masculine figure that means so much to so many men and how they define manhood back then and even in some cases today. And I never wanted to make a joke out of him. I never wanted you to feel as if we were laughing at him. I think in this movie, you're kind of laughing with him in the sense that he's still who he is. And I found that to be important to maintain and at the same time be able to do the humor. And the humor is just kind of matter of fact. It's just that when you have a person like this still living today, there are things he's going to believe and do that put up against someone like Jesse Tuescher, who plays JJ, his son, who's a little bit more straight-laced. It's going to be funny just because of they're in the same room. But they don't have to be caricatures of themselves. They can just be the characters and be serious about their point of view.
But that, again, what we were saying before, that you're offering these points of view, and some of these people like Cedric in Barbershop, yeah, or Sam here may be bigger than life, and some people could look down on them. In fact, there are people in the movie who look down on it. But you, as a filmmaker, you make the choices that tell us as an audience that you're not judging these people.
Absolutely.
Because what you're saying, it's about conversation. And even though there's like, they're bare bones, and in some ways you're like making fun of the movie like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
He has what I call shaft parking, but that's another whole conversation
right, right.
in the movie. But that there is constant conversation going on. No matter what the situation, there's constant conversation going on.
Well, I love these bigger-than-life characters. I even with my first movie and definitely with Shaft, I've always looked at it as there's a lot, the black community is just so interesting with characters and just so many, inside jokes and this and that. And anytime you do it from love, anytime you do it from even that crazy uncle that comes into town, you still love him. You may not want him to
move
in the same room
with
it, yeah. Or you might not want to eat next to him at the dinner table, but you love him. And I think, and I, that's what I kind of do with my storytelling, especially when it comes to black culture. I just love it. And I want to look at it from all sides. And I do want to sometimes say, should we reexamine it? But at the same time, when it comes from love, you can take these larger than life characters, which they are to a certain, I may be putting a little percentage higher on what they do, but these characters exist. They exist and they're fun and you do have arguments with them, but at the end of the day, you love them. And that's what I try to do with my films.
Well, I think, again, too, just talking about, again, the women, too, because the women kind of exist to react to these.
Sure, yeah.
These characters who are such archetypes, they could almost be stereotyped.
Yeah.
And to have somebody as good as Regina Hall, who you worked with a few times.
She's my sister. She's
done the show here. And she's just, to have actors as smart as she and Sam.
Yeah.
So you can sort of see, and she has one great scene in the ladies' room that I'm not going to give away, but it's...
Which is all ad-lib when you see it.
Is it?
Oh, absolutely. That is just me saying to Regina, and you guys will see it, and you've probably seen a little bit in the trailers, me going to Regina and say, I've got this idea that when this happens, she goes here to kind of vent, and I said, I just want you to go off. Just go, because... If you've done enough projects like I have with Regina Hall, she is probably the funniest person walking the face of this earth. She is my Lucille Ball. She is just that funny. And I know that in the hands of her, in the hands of her instrument, she can kind of do, she can do anything, and she can make you laugh. She can make you cry. But when you see Regina go for the jugular. And that character is never, we're never making fun of this character. The anger and the things she says, it comes from a place. And I find that when it does come from a genuine place, that's kind of what makes it funny, because now you as an audience are going, girl, I'm with you. And I think that's what you do in this film.
I want to talk to you a bit too about this idea that there are always so many people and so many points of view in these movies you make. There are lots of people and there's lots going on. And you have to touch on or get to a lot of stuff really quickly. And this is a really fast movie. There's a lot going on. But I guess we say that about the movies you do in general. They move really fast. They kind of cover a lot of ground sort of narratively and character-wise. But what is it about having so many people in these movies that appeals to you? Because there are lots of them.
I come from this love of seeing what's the word for it? It's this combination of actors play with each other. Even, you know, in the little, I used to be in stage crew and you would see the actors do these. And, you know, and when it comes to high school dramas, you had to have a lot of people in the dramas just because you had a lot of students and people want. And so to see that play, to see that banter, me growing up on movies like Cheers, you know, like where I just see there's a jazz that kind of plays with characters. When I did Think Like a Man, it felt so good because you had the drummer and the saxophone player and my father's a big jazz person, so that's where my jazz thing, you know, he's a big jazz fan. So that's where my jazz thing comes from. And when it's hitting on all cylinders, there is a humor to it. I can almost play with the levels of when you want somebody to be upset, when you want somebody to just say something ridiculous. If Kevin Hart is in the scene in the booth with all the other guys, he can be ridiculous. You know, he's going to say certain things, but then you got Gary Owen who will say another thing, and then Michael Ealy will put in his thing. And it's like they're musicians, you know, and Jerry Ferrara throw this in, and Rami Malka. And when you have this table of that, it just feels so good for what dialogue is. I find myself in a lot of conversations with my friends where that's what it's about. And I listen to conversations even when I'm on, you know, I'm spending some time in London right now and on the tube, as they say. And you listen to the conversations, or when you're in New York and you're in certain, nightclubs or whatever the case may be, or lounges. People's conversations are so fun, but they have a rhythm. And that's what I'm trying to go after. And having more people just allows me to do it.
But also, too, there's this thing where so often we see that many black characters in a movie, they're going to be turned into caricatures. They're going to be made fun of. And even though you have a lot of characters who, many of whom are bigger than life, who also basically claim their territory in conversation, and they're not moving from that, you don't ever use that as a way to... I mean, they're funny, but they're not there to be made fun of. You don't belittle them. And this idea of according all these people their dignity is an interesting thing to see when it comes to that kind of expanse of black characters, because as I'm sure you know, because you've had to fight for this, I'm sure. It's a rarity to see that kind of thing when people, that many people of color are in a situation and they're all big and you're not basically saying this guy's a moron or this woman's an idiot.
I don't think there's any character, I don't think there's any person really that can, there's not many people that consider themselves a clown. Where they're going into a situation and their point of view, sure, it might be ill-informed. It might be absent of some thought. However, I don't think anybody walks into these heated or these passionate conversations thinking that their point of view doesn't make sense or is dumb or is they all their point of view comes from a history of their existence or their family's existence or whatever. And so it's just kind of coming to a head in this conversation. So I always want to go into these conversations and kind of instruct or at least just kind of depend on my actors as they're creating these characters to always come from a place of realism. And that's what makes it, that's what's going to make it funny, is that the reason, it's the Rosa Parks conversation that we got in trouble with a long time ago. When Cedric is doing the Rosa Parks conversation, he has a reason why he feels that way. He was on a bus and didn't get, you know, a street named after him. And so, and even in Shaft, you know, it's Sam, that if he says this is the way you deal with a woman, that comes from a history. It comes from something he's dealt with over years. And I never want to belittle that source of where they're coming from.
This is going way too fast. You got to make another movie so you can come back in less than 10 years.
We'd love to, my man.
It's always good to have our friend Tim Story, whose new film is Shaft. Go see it. Our recording engineer here at NPR West is Marcia Caldwell. The show is mixed by Kat Yor. It's edited by Blake Rogers, associate producer. I'm going to go hit the streets and play some music. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.